Love to come back again next year, she reported. Eagle Lodge 4535 President Dean Martell expressed pride in his lodge and said he appreciated the chance to honor the veterans with vision loss. BVA and Eagles Lodge 4535 worked together throughout the year on several events to strengthen the bonds between the community and blinded veterans. Innovative Video offers tips for running during COVID-19. The new social distancing rules in place due to COVID-19 can make getting outdoors and staying active difficult. Rich Hunter of Folsom, California, a member of the Northern California Regional Group, has come up with a creative and ingenious video tutorial on how to abide by the rules of social distancing while running with a sighted guide. He and his guide, Matt Linderman, also demonstrate the art of making a simple tether that can connect runner and guide on any running course. Check it out. https://bit.ly/running-tips-covid-19. Full Court Press for Blinded Veterans Day by Tracy Farrell. Two additional photos accompany this Around BVA entry. The first of the photos reveals four men standing together in a government chamber. Behind them are bright spotlights and a U.S. flag at the far left. The caption states, left to right, Randy Basarge and Ken Taylor of the Jackson County, Mississippi Board of Supervisors, Mark Carver, Louisiana-Mississippi Regional Group, and Supervisor Barry Cumbest. The second of the photos shows two gentlemen standing together. The man on the left is attired in a short-sleeved, button-down plaid shirt. Visible in his hands is a framed document with a seal at the bottom. The gentleman on the right is dressed in a coat and tie. Both are seen smiling slightly. The caption states, Louisiana-Mississippi BVA member and Gulfport resident Rosie Montague with Gulfport Mayor Billy Hughes. The account begins, what is the new normal? At this unpredictable time, we need to maintain some stability and predictability. Like the sun rising and setting every day, so too shall we celebrate holidays. One of those special to us is the 28th of March every year. As we all know and try to pass along, it is Blinded Veterans Day. This day is set aside by presidential proclamation to honor blinded veterans specifically. It is a day of special recognition during which we must go out in public, get on our soapbox, and become the town crier. We have the opportunity to go to our state, county, and local governments to request their support for Blinded Veterans Day via proclamation. Here in the Louisiana-Mississippi Regional Group, we also requested from both states that every county, parish, and many major cities support us with proclamations. Between flooding, tornadoes, and now COVID-19, we have not received all of them back yet. But through discussions with many elected officials, it is evident that we have their full support. We asked for and looked forward to getting our photos taken with these officials, but had to cancel many due to the virus. Some BVA members who were out spreading the word for us did get some photos. Things will return to normal. Just be aware that normal will be different. Greater Houston Regional Group launches Southeast Texas Chapter. Three photos grace this Around BVA entry. The first photo, a group pose, reveals five gentlemen standing together with one lady and a guide dog standing sideways in front of the group. A podium and a table are visible in front of them. The U.S. flag and the Texas flag are in the background and to the left and right, respectively. All but one of the men are seen with white canes. They are each wearing a BVA hat and a sport coat with no tie. The caption reads, left to right, George Pate, Jerry Killian, Representative Babin, staffer Lanny Brown, John Lee, Jerry Myers, and Mike Nicholas. The second of the photos reveals the same woman standing together with one pickup, together with one of the gentlemen. Together, they are holding a folded U.S. flag. The lady is holding up a document that has been placed in a folder. The caption provides details as follows. Lanny Brown presenting President John Lee with proclamation and flag. The last photo is a side view of a woman reading a document to the same five gentlemen. They remain wearing their hats. The caption describes the photo thus. Lanny Brown swearing in chapter officers Jerry Pate, Jerry Killian, John Lee, Jerry Myers, and Mike Nicholas. The graphic, which covers the upper half of a column in the bulletin's print version, is a replica of a governor's proclamation presented to the Blinded Veterans Association. The contents are revealed in the body of the account. The text of this entry begins, the Blinded Veterans Association of the Greater Houston Regional Group, GHRG, launched its Southeast Texas Chapter, SETX, chapter. The chartering chapter officers are John Lee, President, Jerry Myers, Vice President, Jerry Killian, Secretary Treasurer, Mike Nicholas, Sergeant at Arms, and George Pate, Chaplain. They were administered the BVA's oath of office by Ms. Lanny Brown, a representative from Congressman Brian Babin's office. Proclamations from Governor Greg Abbott and Beaumont Mayor Becky Ames were presented to the chapter officers. Congressman Babin's office also presented the SETX chapter with a flag that was flown over the United States Capitol in recognition, as well as a challenge coin for each chapter officers. Special guests attending from the Greater Regional Group were Wade Davis, President, and Eddie Tardy, Secretary. Wade Davis gave a brief history of the Blinded Veterans Association. Other honored guests attending were Blake Hopper, representing Congressman Randy Weber, Lanny Brown and Dana Young, representing Congressman Brian Babin, W.L. Pate, Jr., LTC, retired, representing Beaumont Mayor Becky Ames, Martha McKinney, representing Veterans Affairs Beaumont Outpatient Clinic, Mrs. Ivy Pate, representing the St. Elizabeth's Foundation, and Susan Landry, representing the St. Elizabeth Hospital. Finally, a special thank you to the Beaumont Westbrook High School, ROTC, Honor Guard, who posted and retired the colors of our country and state. The SETX chapter of the GHRG will serve blinded or visually impaired veterans in 9 counties surrounding the Beaumont area. Individuals wishing to support BVA by volunteering to serve in our auxiliary or to support the SETX chapter with cash donations, please contact Secretary Jerry Killian at jdkillion@msn.com or call 936-402-0741. Included in the print version is a certificate from the Texas Governor. At the top of the certificate is the Texas Star, and at the bottom left is the Texas Seal. Below the Texas Star is the following in print. The State of Texas Governor, to all to whom these presents shall come, greetings. Know ye that the Texas flag herewith presented to the Blinded Veterans Association was flown above the state capital of the sovereign state of Texas in honor of Blinded Veterans Day, March 28, 2020. In testimony whereof, I have signed my name and caused the seal of the state of Texas to be affixed at the city of Austin this, the 28th day of March, 2020. Signed, Greg Abbott, Governor of Texas. New national chaplain assumes helm. National President Tom Zamperi announced May 18th the appointment of Dr. Ron Lester of the Southern Arizona Regional Group as the new national chaplain. We thank Chaplain Johnny Bush, Sr. for his service to BVA and welcome Dr. Lester to this important responsibility, said Tom. The appointment comes at a time in which we hope to better engage our regional group chaplains and support them with the resources that can help them in reaching out to our more isolated BVA members. Dr. Lester will be assisted in this effort by Dr. Pascal Bauti, a former Navy chaplain, author, teacher, member of the Kentucky Veterans Hall of Fame Honor Roll for outstanding military and community service. He is also a member of the Kentuckiana Regional Group. Below is a letter of introduction from Dr. Ron Lester. Regional group chaplains who have not recently submitted their contact information to their district directors or to national headquarters should forward that information to Dr. Lester at ronlester45@gmail.com. May 14, 2020. Dear fellow chaplains, my name is Dr. Ron Lester, and it is my honor to have been recently appointed the BVA National Chaplain. I am a disabled Vietnam-era veteran with retinitis pigmentosa, a hereditary eye disease resulting in total blindness. Despite this challenge, I hold degrees in business, education, and administration, and have served as an ordained minister to diverse populations in the United States and overseas. I am the author of 2 books and current host of a faith-based online radio program for those with special needs. My experience as both chaplain and service officer in organizations committed to veterans will help me serve and support you in my new role. My desire is for us to come together to encourage one another so we can in turn engage those veterans who lack connection and support. I'm asking for your suggestions to improve our outreach to blinded veterans. What resources and training would be effective to equip those within each region willing to serve this population? I'm confident we can find a way to build one another up and improve the emotional and spiritual well-being of our struggling brothers and sisters. Pascal Bauty, former Navy chaplain, BVA member, is eager to help with this project. In the next few days, he will send out a list of listening skills useful in relating to our veteran community. We look forward to your suggestions, comments, and ideas. In his service, Dr. Ron Lester, 520-741-1217. Ron Lester 45 at gmail.com. Regional group important dates. BVA Administrator Director Bridget Jones typically publishes and posts a list of important dates and deadlines for regional groups leading up to each national convention. The lists are printed in the first three bimonthly bulletin issues of the calendar year and are uploaded to the BVA website. With suspension of the 75th National Convention, the only remaining relevant dates in the list are June 8, the latest date for National Headquarters to mail ballots for regular elections of directors of Districts 5 and 6, June 15, when National Headquarters mails annual financial report forms, three copies, to treasurers of regional groups, July 3, when ballots for regular elections of directors of Districts 5 and 6 are due at National Headquarters, and July 13, when National Headquarters is scheduled to count ballots for the elections of directors of Districts 5 and 6. Choose a version of the bulletin. Would you like to receive a Word, PDF, or CD version of the bulletin, as well as a hard copy, or a combination of all of the above? Are you signed up for our monthly email newsletter, or do you know any members who haven't received their copy? Please let us know by calling BVA Headquarters. 2020 National Summer Sports Clinic canceled. As of June 2020, the San Diego VA Medical Center and National Veterans Sports Program, scheduled for September 20 through 25, 2020, has been canceled due to COVID-19 concerns. Quote, VA made this decision out of an abundance of caution for the health, safety, and well-being of veterans and their families, our employees, and community partners. Unquote. This event will be held in 2021 in San Diego. The National Summer Sports Clinic exists to, quote, promote the value of rehabilitation, utilizing a variety of summer leisure activities and adaptive sports, unquote. Sports include sailing, surfing, kayaking, cycling, and more. The program serves as a glimpse of the many recreational sports awaiting veterans. For more information on the cancellation of this event, visit the VA webpage blog that relates to the VA Summer Sports Clinic. Dole Foundation selects devoted caregiver, BVA friend. A photo accompanies this news item. The picture, a head and shoulders snapshot of a lady with light-colored hair, glasses, standing behind either a bouquet or vase filled with colored roses. Her smile is faint but still evident. There is no descriptive caption. The body of the story starts as follows. Barb Webb of Columbia, Missouri, ardent supporter of the Blinded Veterans Association and the mother of Mark Wilson, Secretary-Treasurer of the Heartland Regional Group, has been selected by the Elizabeth Dole Foundation to represent military caregivers in the state of Missouri as a 2020 Dole Caregiver Fellow. Barb is among 30 military and veteran caregivers joining the 225 past and present caregivers who represent all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia to bring attention to the challenges facing America's 5.5 million hidden heroes, the spouses, family members, and other loved ones who provide $14 billion in voluntary care for service members and veterans every year. Mark Wilson is a former combat engineer who served two tours of duty as an expert in explosives tasked with locating and disarming improvised explosive devices. He was injured in a non-service-connected firearms accident that cost him most of his sight. Barb's selection to this prestigious group, now in its eighth year, is based on her expansive experience and insight into successful caregiving and her capacity to assist other caregivers with the challenges and opportunities with which they are faced. Barb and Mark are regular attendees of the BVA National Conventions and staunch supporters of Operation Peer Support activities. They have also supported BVA through Mark's masterful woodworking craftsmanship, a passion of his both before and after his injuries. Over the years, Mark has produced award plaques, signs, and other items that have been of impeccable quality. I look forward to sharing my caregiving journey and empowering hidden heroes across the nation, said Barb. I want to get communication out to the rural areas and let caregivers know that they are not alone, offering resources and help in any way I can. Hidden Heroes is the campaign behind the work of the Dole Foundation. It represents the work involved in bringing vital attention to the untold stories of military caregivers and seeks solutions to their continuous challenges and long-term needs. The goals of Hidden Heroes are threefold: to raise awareness of the issues military caregivers and their families confront every day, to inspire individuals, businesses, communities, and civic, faith, and government leaders to take action in supporting military caregivers in their communities, and to establish a national registry encouraging military caregivers to register at hiddenheroes.org to better connect them to helpful resources and support. The Elizabeth Dole Foundation, founded in 2012, is the preeminent organization empowering, supporting, and honoring the nation's 5.5 million military caregivers, the spouses, parents, family members, and friends who care for America's wounded, ill, or injured veterans. It also seeks increased research and effective public policy that will genuinely affect caregivers' lives for the better. Dole, a former U.S. Senator, Secretary of Transportation, and head of the Red Cross, is a caregiver herself as the wife of former Senate Majority Leader and presidential candidate Bob Dole, who was wounded in World War II combat. It was quite an honor to have Bob and Elizabeth Dole call me personally and welcome me to the fellowship, Barb said. I was so surprised and amazingly calm. I felt like I had known them forever. Barb will have the opportunity to meet the Doles in the nation's capital later this year. She is the third Dole Foundation Fellow with a BVA connection. The first class of Dole Foundation caregivers in 2012 included Melissa Johnson, wife of Sean Johnson, Midwest Regional Group, and Deborah Schultz, mother of BVA member Stephen Schultz, Greater Houston Regional Group. Did you know? Still another Did You Know item appears in the bulletin's printed version in a shaded box immediately below the article. It reads, at a meeting held on November 19, 1976, the BVA Executive Committee, acting on behalf of the Board of Directors, sanctioned the beginning of the organizational process for a BVA auxiliary, BVAA. Renee Feldman, for whom the auxiliary scholarships were named, was one of the major catalysts for the auxiliary's start. Renee had earlier organized a meeting at the 31st National Convention and followed it up with a letter to those who had attended the meeting. By February 1977, when several spouses met during BVA's midwinter board meetings, plans were already in motion for the new BVAA, including auxiliary activities slated for the 32nd National Convention in Washington, D.C. Operation Peer Support News. Operation Peer Support, OPS, or OPS, is a program designed by the Blinded Veterans Association to assist blind and visually impaired veterans and their families with educational resources and adaptive sports in order for them to regain independence, social skills, and confidence through rehabilitation. The accounts below include two from the same event, but are described somewhat differently by Brian Harris and Raquel Welch. Steamboat Springs by Brian O. Connell. Two photos, neither of which are accompanied by captions, grace the Steamboat Spring entry composed by Brian. The first depicts three skiers in bright sunshine posing for the photo. Two are shown with ski poles and one without poles. The skier in the middle has an identifying vest that states, visually impaired. The vests for the persons on the right and left say, guide. All three are wearing helmets. The second photo is similar. A male skier on the right, designated as a blind skier, is with his poles. The guide on the left has no poles. Both are again with helmets. The Steamboat Spring blurb reads, from March 1 to March 5, 11 blind veterans and two caregivers went to the Steamboat Adaptive Recreational Sports, STARS, STARS Advanced Ski Clinic. This was the second event that was held at the STARS Ranch this year. Unlike the first clinic, the participants and caregivers were responsible for their travel expenses to and from Denver, Colorado. Just like the first event, everyone stayed at the new STARS Lodge and spent 3 days skiing, snowboarding, snow biking, and enjoying camaraderie, laughter, and exercise. The STARS program is designed to enable persons with disabilities of all kinds, including visual impairment and blindness, to expand their horizons, learn new skills, and enjoy activities they might have previously enjoyed. Every person involved with the STARS program at Steamboat Springs provided exceptional support and friendly service. The staff at the STARS Ranch hosted us as if we were family. The STARS staff on the mountain at Steamboat Springs provided exceptionally professional and supportive skiing, snowboarding, and snow biking guidance and instruction. Each veteran and their guide became immediate and lifelong friends. The weather was great, the companionship was fun, and the overall experience was absolutely superlative. Social contact of all kinds is so important to those of us who have limited or no vision. We sometimes find ourselves in a difficult place, unable to establish and maintain a normal social life due to our inability to drive, for instance. Gathering together at the Stars Ranch and on the mountain in Steamboat Springs was not only an invigorating on-the-mountain experience, but it reinforced the importance of taking part in social and athletic events. Thanks to everyone involved who supported, provided financial assistance, encouraged, and participated in this wonderful program. Kayaking the Florida Keys by Brian Harris. This segment about the ops activity in Florida is supported by two group photos. The first of the two reveals six individuals, five men and a lady, standing together on sand with guitars. Two gentlemen seated in front of them are also holding guitars. In the background is a body of water. The bright low clouds in the sky are such that it appears near dusk. There is no caption with this photo, nor the next one, which shows from a distance a group of several individuals in kayaks. The photo shows the front of the kayak from which it was taken. The text of the following story, and the one after it, further describes as follows the events in Florida. BVA Operation Peer Support collaborated with Team River Runner for a week of kayaking, fellowship, and mentoring with others. The following BVA members attended the event: Hugo Gonzalez, Raquel Welch, Don Bickham, Carlos Perez, and team leader Brian Harris. The event was held in South Florida, and participants stayed at the Amoray Resort, which was footsteps away from the crystal-clear blue waters of the Florida Keys. The veterans were given an opportunity to swim with dolphins. They were paired with their guide and a certified dolphin trainer to do tricks with the dolphins and to free swim. "This event was so amazing," Raquel said. The veterans were treated as guests of honor at the American Legion and the Elks Club in Key Largo. The people of the community came out and thanked the veterans for their service and sacrifices. Hugo Gonzalez stated, "It's events like these that make me feel like I am not alone and that I have a brotherhood." On the third day of kayaking, the veterans were introduced to Sean Hannon, who started a foundation called Guitars for Heroes, for which he started raising money to purchase guitars for veterans and provide them with a basic lesson before gifting the guitar to them. The vets were so impressed by his offer that the entire group was enthusiastic and eager to learn the lesson. After teaching them how to tune the guitar and explaining to them keys and chords, the vets practiced 1 hour each day. On the last day of the event, all team members were presented with a guitar of their own. Three staff members also received BVA coins. The first coin was given to Jamie Jackson for his knowledge and expert navigating through the Florida mangroves and seas. The second coin was presented to Sean for blessing the veterans with the guitars and lessons. The last coin went to Jennifer Eaton for being the only visually impaired mobility instructor. Jennifer came from Pennsylvania to assist with mentoring, kayaking, and helping guide other visually impaired vets. "In my opinion, it is events like these that challenge vets to step outside their comfort zones and to see the progress they've made at the end of the event." One Pedal at a Time by Raquel Welch. Days before the trip, I was excited to go, even though it was out of my comfort zone. I was up for the test, even if it was going to be challenging. The trip to Key Largo took place March 1 through 8, 2020, and was with Team River Runner. This trip included the trip leader, Bill Finger, the trainer, Jen Eaton. The tugboat was provided by Colin Drew. The wonderful guides included Bill Finger, Jamie Jackson, the mangrove spiritual guide, Jen Eaton, again, 250 kayak rolls, Deborah Reyes, River Doc, Cillian Gonzalez, Cell, Mark Fratoni, David Hernandez, and Colin Drew, my guide. My flight experience was good, but the energy of Key Largo was amazing. The very first morning, my group and I were walking down the street to get fitted for our kayaks, and a complete stranger pulled up and gave us a blank check. This is just an example of the love Key Largo has for its veterans. Getting on with the week, on Monday, we were fitted with our kayaks and personal protective equipment. We also learned to index our paddle and got used to both the water and our guides. Tuesday, we went for our first kayaking trip. We kayaked 3.8 miles, and I flipped out of the kayak. Well, in a kayak, you can't make any sudden moves. That is where I messed up. Kayaks are like animals, as they seem to sense fear. Ever since I lost my sight, I've had a fear of putting my head underwater. I panicked, stopped paddling, and this caused me to lean a little bit too far to the right, so I fell out of my kayak. My fear was automatically gone. Because I was already wet, and I'm a soldier, I got back in my boat in open water. After that incident, we kayaked to an island called John Pennekamp. Wednesday, we kayaked 6.8 miles to the Florida mangroves. We were around many different species of jellyfish and swam over a few friendly manatees. Then we learned how to play the guitar. I would like to just give out a big thank you to Sean Hannett, the guitar guy also mentioned by Brian. I would like to thank him first for giving us the guitar at his own expense, then teaching us how to tune it. Thursday, we went swimming at Dolphin World. It was a pleasant distraction from a challenging week. Other peaceful activities included arts and crafts, yoga, and lunch. That night, we went to the Veterans of Foreign Wars Lounge. We were treated to a barbecue dinner and painkillers, a local favorite rum beverage. We were also the guests of honor, so everyone wanted to come up to talk and introduce themselves. Hugo got on stage and spoke to the crowd of his experience of being injured, recovering, and his appreciation to veterans and their support. It was a wonderful, heartfelt speech. Friday was an easy day. We had a short paddle to John Pennekamp, cleaned up the boats, and had dinner in town. Saturday was very windy and not safe for us to go on the water. We cleaned up all the equipment, did some souvenir shopping, and started packing. We had the opportunity to meet the founder of Team River Runner, Joe Mornini. We had lunch, said our goodbyes to the group, and headed to Miami for our early morning flight home. I highly recommend this trip that included remarkable instruction, fascinating weather, and priceless bonding time with my fellow blinded veterans. Recent and upcoming OPS events. OPS looked forward to sponsoring two BVA members in the Heroes New Hope Foundation Veterans Turkey Hunt, April 21 through 25. Travel, lodging, license fees, tags, meals, and a professional guide were included. Unfortunately, blinded veteran participation in the event had to be suspended for this year due to COVID-19. All other OPS events are currently on hold pending changes in local and state policies regarding travel, recreation, and congregating in large groups. 2020 Wheelchair Games canceled. The 2020 National Veterans Wheelchair Games event is canceled due to COVID-19. The 2021 National Veterans Wheelchair Games will be held in New York City on August 8 through 13. The application period for the 2021 National Veterans Wheelchair Games will open the first week in January 2021 and will close April 2021. Mark your calendars. If you have any further questions, please view online the Wheelchair Games Frequently Asked Questions at https://www.wheelchairgames.org/athletes/FAQS. 2020 T Tournament canceled. On June 8th, the National Disabled Veterans, TEE, Training Exposure Experience Tournament announced that the 2020 tournament is canceled to protect the health, safety, and well-being of event participants. VA and DAV are looking forward to hosting the T Tournament in 2021. For further information on the cancellation, visit https://www.veteranstee.org/. Auxiliaries View by Patricia Hale, BVAA reporter and past national president. Patty Hale's auxiliary view is accompanied in this issue by a half-length front view photo of Patty. She is dressed in formal business attire and has a small name badge. In the second column of the print version of this article is the familiar BVAA emblem. The auxiliary's view begins with the subtitle, Opinion versus Advocacy. Opinion versus Advocacy. An opinion is a, quote, view, judgment, or appraisal formed in the mind about a particular matter, unquote. Webster. Expressing one's opinion is, therefore, talking about that which is formed in the mind and is frequently quite personal. Opinionated is unduly adhering to one's own opinion. Advocacy is the, quote, act or process of pleading, defending, and or maintaining a cause or proposal, especially before a tribunal or judicial court, unquote. Webster. An advocate, therefore, must have the facts in order to support a particular cause. Opinions may or may not be based on fact. An advocate's support has no basis unless it can be substantiated with education, fact, repeated experience, or research. People are often emotional about their opinions because they own them. Advocates usually speak passionately because they learned, lived, and/or studied their causes. When, as a blind person or caregiver, you are asked what you think about a topic related to a blind cause, consider your answer, and don't be shy about identifying whether you are responding with your opinion or advocacy. When a veteran is declared legally blind, a whole set of opinions, mostly negative, arise about what the now blinded veteran can and cannot do, and what they know and do not know. Hilariously funny is that the blind can no longer hear, so others talk louder. talk around rather than to the blind. Suddenly, the blind can no longer hold leadership positions in the community or other organizations. They are often barred from holding particular jobs or positions because others believe that the blind are beneath the sighted in abilities to learn and do. Generally, these opinionated persons lack the knowledge or understanding needed to even enter a conversation about blindness. Advocacy for the blind has proven that the blind individual can do almost anything a sighted person can do, just differently. BVA and BVAA are advocacy organizations. In their 75 years, BVA has advocated successfully for the VA, VIST, BROS, and BRC programs, among many other blinded veteran issues. Most recently, they successfully advocated for changes in the VA caregiver program. Expressed opinion or advocacy? Do you want a motion or information or both? If you want an opinion, it's easy to get. If you want information, be specific with your question or ask the person whom you believe has the facts. Be conscious of this fact. The better you are as an advocate, others, in order to devalue and overpower you with their negative emotional opinions, will attempt to maintain their imagined power by referring to your advocacy as being opinionated. Advocacy is empowerment and independence. A successful advocate can rise above the self-generated opinions of others. Reality says it's the difference between emotion and facts. The best part is that you can get involved. Advocate for yourself. Get educated. Be sensitive and passionate in your advocacy for our veterans and their families. Headquarters receives Carroll correspondence. A historical headshot of Father Thomas Carroll is part of this short news item. Father Carroll is depicted with his clerical collar against a dark background that is nearly the same as his dark hair. The nature of the subject matter makes the subject of the photo obvious. The contents of the story consist of the following. Rachel Rosenbaum, executive director of the Thomas J. Carroll Center for the Blind from 1976 until 2009, has shared several business letters between Father Carroll and BVA national officers dating back to the late 1940s and early 1950s. Rachel has been working on a biography of Father Carroll for several years and located the letters in files that she only recently discovered and sent to BVA in early January. Father Carroll founded the Catholic Guild for the Blind that later became the Carroll Center that continues to bear his name. Most of the correspondence Rachel located was between Father Carroll and BVA's first national president, John Jack F. Brady. A few letters are copies of letters between individuals, usually members of BVA, that were given to Father Carroll as a reference to a problem or issue. The letters reveal and outline some of the accomplishments, problems, frustrations, and conflicts that were part of BVA's early history, including challenges in working with the then Veterans Administration, VA. In 1945, Father Carroll served on an Honorary Civilian Advisory Committee program for the War Blinded of the U.S. Army that transitioned a year later into VA's Committee on the Blinded Veteran. The same letters point out Father Carroll's dual and often conflicted role as BVA's national chaplain while representing VA's interests as the agency worked toward developing services for blinded veterans for the first time. For more information about the correspondence or to receive copies, contact Stuart Nelson, BVA National Headquarters at 202-371-8880, extension 316, or at snelson@bva.org. From the Veterans Services Staff by Claudia Baldwin. Understanding the Blue Water Navy Act. We discussed this act in a previous BVA bulletin, but we wanted to provide some updates on it. The legislation, which became effective on January 1, 2020, has provided $140 million in retroactive benefits for these Blue Water Navy veterans and their survivors. This new act extends the presumption of herbicide exposure, such as Agent Orange, to veterans who served in the offshore waters of the Republic of Vietnam between January 9, 1962 and May 7, 1975, as well as veterans who served in the Korean Demilitarized Zone between September 1, 1967 and August 31, 1971. Formerly, eligibility to receive disability compensation based on a presumption of herbicide exposure applied to veterans who served on the ground in Vietnam or within Vietnam's inland waterways. Veterans are encouraged to apply in three ways. 1. If a veteran has never filed for this presumption of benefits, VA Form 21-526-EZ with the diagnosed presumptive condition should be filed. 2. If a veteran previously filed for Agent Orange presumptive conditions and was denied benefits, the veteran can reopen the claim with VA Form 20-0995. This is the same for a surviving spouse who was previously denied death indemnity compensation, DIC, benefits. 3. If a surviving spouse has never claimed DIC benefits and the spouse died from a presumptive condition due to Agent Orange exposure, the surviving spouse can file for benefits on VA Form 21P534EZ. COVID-19 has changed the way we do business. It is the same for VA. Compensation and pension exams are being done virtually in situations where a physical face-to-face isn't necessary. Veterans are encouraged to provide any relevant external records to be submitted in the development of a claim. Hearings are being conducted virtually with new technology on the application VA Video on Demand, whenever available, as well as through teleconferences. Additionally, VA has extended financial relief to veterans who currently have a debt with VA. This relief act is in effect until further notice and states the following: suspending all actions on veteran debts under the jurisdiction of the Treasury Department, suspending collection action or extending repayment terms on pre-existing VA debts as the veteran prefers. For benefit debts, veterans can contact the VA Debt Management Center at 1-800-827-0648 to make arrangements. The benefits and claim relief actions have also allowed extensions for the following: perfecting claims, challenging adverse decisions, submitting notices of disagreement, submitting substantive appeals, responding to supplemental statements of the case. Veterans who wish to request claim extensions can simply submit them with any late-filed paperwork. They do not have to proactively request an extension in advance. For added convenience, VA will also accept typed or digital signatures instead of wet signatures on its forms due to the current social distancing guidelines. Those with questions can call 1-800-827-1000. If a veteran has been diagnosed with COVID-19 and has a claim at the Board of Veterans' Appeals, the claim will be advanced on the docket for determining a decision on the claim. Another change in VA benefits is the discontinuation of the Disability Benefits Questionnaires, DBQs. The VA.gov website states that DBQs were designed to assist veterans living overseas to obtain medical evidence in support of their benefits claims where limited options were available. Today, VA works with contracted providers in more than 30 foreign countries to conduct disability medical examinations, therefore eliminating these long and tedious forms for providers who aren't trained on how to complete them effectively was necessary. We highly recommend that you contact our national service officers for assistance in filing for any benefits discussed in this article. Extraordinary Feats Without Sight by Ed Henkler. It is my firm belief that you can thrive with vision loss. I always like to point out that I'm sighted, so while I believe you can thrive, I cannot claim to have walked that journey. My belief starts with observing my mom, who lost her sight to age-related macular degeneration. When she was diagnosed, there were no treatment alternatives. My family also had no experience with vision loss. It took time and it wasn't easy, but she learned to thrive. She traveled outside the country for the first time. She became an active user of public transportation, independently traveling to the Philadelphia Flower Show and other densely crowded settings. She loved sports, and we would routinely take her to live events. She couldn't see the action on the field, but she could soak in the atmosphere. She also became a frequent spokesperson for Associations for the Blind. Not quite as close to home, but I suspect many of you know the name, is Brad Snyder. He's a Naval Academy graduate who lost his sight to an IED in Afghanistan. Sudden, traumatic loss of sight. There's much more to the story, but 1 year to the day after he lost his sight, he won swimming gold at the London Paralympics. Granted, Brad was the swim team captain at the Naval Academy, so he didn't go from 0 to 100 in 1 year. Nevertheless, he did go from thinking he'd never swim again to setting world records. Not bad. Many of you know Eric Wienenmeyer and Lonnie Bedwell, or at least know their names. Lonnie is a BVA member. They are well known for adventuring anything from mountain climbing to extreme kayaking. These are amazing people who are blind and doing things most people wouldn't even consider with or without vision. Right about now, you might be thinking, that's all great, but I'm not worried about setting world records or even kayaking. My needs, especially as our world struggles with a global health issue, are much simpler, you say. Perhaps this is your story. You live near one of VA's blind rehabilitation centers, BRCs, all of which are shut down for the near future. The BRC staff has been redeployed to what are deemed more pressing needs to control the spread of the pandemic. You are also used to spending time not only with friends and other blinded veterans, but also just your normal circle of friends. Now we are practicing this thing called social distancing. Sounds simple in concept, but why would you want to lose contact with your friends during a uniquely stressful time? The answer is that you don't need to lose contact with your support network. In fact, I understand there's a push to switch from the phrase social distancing to physical distancing. That makes so much more sense. To stop the spread, or flatten the curve, as they like to say, it is essential that we greatly reduce physical interactions. In no way does this suggest that we cannot talk with our friends. In fact, it is the perfect time to reconnect with people, especially those who live alone or who are feeling vulnerable. If you still have some level of vision, video conferencing technology has become astoundingly good. You can interact as effectively online as in person. Some might argue that you can be more effective online. There are obviously many ways to connect virtually, with or without the accompanying video. But there's one caveat, and it applies to business meetings as much as a social call with your friends. You must be present. This is not a time for multitasking. You need to focus every ounce of your energy on that person or meeting, even if you are not physically with them. Last year was the first time I attended a BVA annual conference. I hope to make it to the next one. The energy I felt in Tulsa was palpable. BVA is a wonderful group of people who don't know how to quit. I've never been as moved as when I saw someone who was blind leading a pack of other people who were blind. A lot of white canes in one place. That was extraordinary, but it was the spirit that moved me. People thriving with blindness and helping others newer to the journey is what it's all about. If you're already thriving with blindness, reach out to others by phone, email, or video conference. Even just sharing a joke says, I'm thinking of you. If you're struggling, don't wait for someone to call you. Take the initiative and call them. Better yet, if you have the energy, find opportunities to help others. Sometimes we just need to help ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. However, helping others takes your mind off your challenges and maybe releases just a little bit of karma. Ed Henkler is the founder of TheBlindGuide.com. He publishes a weekly blog on topics ranging from new technology and employment initiatives to home modifications and thriving with blindness. His April 8th post features a free printable about his thriving levels. Print it out, personalize it, and begin or continue climbing those levels. Chaplain's Corner by Johnny Bush, Sr. A head and shoulders cut of Chaplain Johnny Bush with dark glasses accompanies this, his final column as chaplain. With vest and tie, Johnny is smiling broadly. There is no caption with the photo. The chaplain's written remarks begin. Greetings to my fellow veterans, their families, and all our BVA friends and supporters. I approach you during this challenging time, a time that is unprecedented in the history of our organization, and, for that matter, our nation. Each of us is dealing with the challenges of COVID-19 in different ways, but I'm sure there are difficulties no matter where we are or who we are. I trust that all of us are coping the best way we know how. My first instructor in Birmingham in 1988, Lynn Heddle, recently passed away very suddenly on April 9. Blind from birth, she was a fantastic person who taught us veterans how to function in the world and how to use the technology that could assist us. She was both a living skills instructor and a computer access training instructor. This was an additional piece of sad news that many of us in the southeastern United States have been coping with, as we will most assuredly miss Lynn. She was both a living skills instructor and a computer access training instructor. Like many of you, I have been pretty much housebound, performing household duties and exercising indoors. I have stayed away from others and followed all the government edicts. I have been able to conduct a prayer group over the phone. I have not done any volunteer work since March 14. If you have read my past columns, you know I am always promoting volunteerism. For that reason, it has been frustrating to be stuck in the house. I'm sure many of you share the same sentiments. Notwithstanding all the frustrations, there are still so many ways we can be of service to others at a time when they perhaps need us the most. One of the things I've tried to do is stay in touch with the members of my regional group. I talk to some of them every day. About 40% of my calls are with veterans. I also call my fellow church members, and one of them even called me to see how I was doing. FaceTime has been especially helpful recently. Another thing we can do and should do is to read our emails regularly. Please don't ignore them, as someone out there may need our help. don't overlook other opportunities to be as self-sufficient as possible. This allows us to serve others more effectively. One opportunity I've had with my son is to get out and donate some masks. It's a way of helping people practically while encouraging people to stay positive and encouraged. Just like we cannot allow our disability to hinder us or our situation, we should not also allow our conditions to do so. When possible, contact your church for food or use Instacart for groceries. Try to secure medications online first, always using Instacart. Practice social distancing if you need to utilize Lyft or Uber. As the national chaplain, the best advice I could provide to all of us would be to stay positive. The crisis will eventually pass, but in the meantime, we must also take care of ourselves by using good judgment and by following all the guidelines we have been given by our local, state, and national leaders. Stay focused and trust the process. Other crises have come and gone, so we must have faith that this one will also. Remember, there is something bigger and better than your past and present. Interviewing, A Healing Act, by Dr. Pascal Bauty, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Group. In my project to create a guide or handbook for veterans coping with sight loss, conceived in 2015, because none existed, it took me about 2 years to learn which questions to ask and how. I will share the secret to doing so effectively. To live in darkness or semi-darkness as a blind individual is a huge challenge to one's sense of well-being. We depend so much on our vision. Not being able to see the food on our plate in front of us, or how to get it on a fork or spoon and get it into our mouths without spilling or dropping it, is like climbing Mount Everest on one leg, or worse. This is not to mention our tendency to bump into things and knock things over. To be forced to give up driving is maybe the ultimate insult to our sense of independence. Perhaps this is the reason VA calls our legal blindness catastrophically disabled. Now, to ask the blind and visually impaired in a caring way, where do you find meaning and hope, is a compliment, believing they have done so or can do so. The question implies that we believe they have come to terms in some way with their blindness, with all its stress and discouragement, and have done more than accept it. They have found meaning and have something to share with me and others about their lonely and unique journey. Such a focus by a caring interviewer, willing to listen with empathy, is an act of healing in and of itself. The grieving process needs a witness in order to be validated and affirmed socially. That affirmation communicates the worth of individuals in their personal struggles and journeys. As the blind person, the affirmation tells me that what I have endured is valuable to someone else, and perhaps others too. To have someone daring to really listen and wanting to know about me in this way is healing in itself. Courage evoking courage, and vulnerability embracing vulnerability, creating a moment that can be seized for a deep human connection. My unique journey then feels affirmed and worthwhile. With this boost from another, we raise a glass to resilience and to surviving, no matter what. And for the moment, I can feel reconnected with that deep sense of tribal loyalty I felt in my military life. I again possess a brief sense of my warrior soul. A new work by David Kessler, Finding Meaning, The Sixth Stage of Grief, 2020, suggests that finding meaning in our loss and our trauma is the ultimate stage in the grieving process after denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. To be asked that same question about meaning and hope helps affirm our passage through the darkness. So I suggest that to be interviewed in this way is a healing act for both persons. As the interviewer of some 32 published stories in my book, Blind Veterans Coping with Loss, 2020, I can say that I am very much healed and encouraged by these stories of blinded veterans. The stories have motivated me to keep on risking and dreaming big myself, to continue forward at age 90, and keep giving back. Even greater value results from knowing that one story has been published in a book available to the public, or from knowing that the story is being broadcast to the online world through smartphones or some other electronic means. This recognition can become a public validation of one's personal journey into and out of darkness, a sort of bronze battle star to be shared. Of note, adaptive sports programs. Welcome blinded veterans. Tim Hornick, BVA Director of District 2, has compiled a list of recreational activities and organizations, both through the Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as a variety of nonprofit organizations. He also secured the contact information for each organization. According to Tim, the list is incomplete since there are so many local and national programs available that could be included on any such list. I can state that over the years, many BVA National Board members and some BVA staff get asked why our Operation Peer Support events are only activities, said Tom Zamperi. In answer to that question, there are many organizations out there that can offer BVA members of all ages activities closer to their homes and can provide transportation funding for participants to attend, said Tom. The programs and organizations Tim compiled include Disabled Sports USA, VA Recreational Therapy, the VA National Sports Program, United States Association of Blind Athletes, Achilles International, chapter-based community sporting opportunities, the Challenged Athletes Foundation, provides grants, the Independence Fund, and Team River Runner, Team Red, White, and Blue, Project Healing Waters, chapter-based fishing, Operation Second Chance, Adaptive Measures, and Blind Endeavors are also on the list. Organizations that are not focused on adaptive sports but which may be able to assist include Delta Gamma, Lions Club, Schools for the Blind, Lighthouses, Hadley, and Centers for Independent Living. For contact information and specific URLs for each website, please contact Stuart Nelson at BVA National Headquarters, 202-371-8880, extension 316, or at snelson@bva.org. Pandemic 2020, Nurses of America, by Warner Murray. We value the nurses and respect their craft. We value the nurses and respect their craft, the most important member to the staff. Nurses carry the torch, our bearer of light, giving hope in darkness all day and night. This is the hour when you're in great need, to save a life, your mantra, oath, and creed. We cherish the nurses each and every time, for great compromise, put their lives on the line. I appreciate the nurses right from the start. These words of inspiration are truly from my heart. Caregiver Corner. Are you drinking enough water? Retrieved from https://caregiver.com articles/drinking-enough-water/. Getting enough fluids. It's important for your body to have plenty of fluids each day. Water helps you digest your food, absorb nutrients from food, and then get rid of the unused waste. Water is found in foods, both solids and liquids, as well as in its natural state. With age, you might lose some of your sense of thirst. To further complicate matters, some medicines might make it even more important to have plenty of fluids. Remember, water is a good way to add fluids to your daily routine without adding calories. Try these tips for getting enough fluids. Don't wait until you feel thirsty to drink water or other fluids. Take sips of water, milk, or juice between bites during meals. Add liquids throughout the day. Have a cup of low-fat soup as an afternoon snack. Drink a full glass of water when you take a pill. Have a glass of water before you exercise. Drink fat-free or low-fat milk or other drinks without added sugars. If you drink alcoholic beverages, do so sensibly and in moderation. That means up to one drink per day for women and up to two drinks for men. Don't stop drinking liquids if you have a urinary control problem. Talk with your doctor about treatment. Red Cross supports military veteran caregiving. The American Red Cross has a specific caregiver program for military and veteran caregivers, MVCN, offering peer-based support and services to caregivers providing care to service members and veterans. Their mission is to provide these caregivers with support to reduce isolation and increase connection, engagement, knowledge, skills, and hope. MCVM achieves its message through an online peer support community, a peer mentor program, and peer support groups both online and in person. MCVN also has events, activities, conferences, retreats, camps, training, and webinars for those caregivers. Additional information is available at https://www.redcross.org/get-help/military-families/services-4-veterans/military-veteran-caregiver-network.html or emailing info.mvcn@redcross.org. In remembrance, the Blinded Veterans Association deeply regrets the passing of the following blinded veterans. From the Alabama Regional Group, Jimmy Wayne Jones. From the Arizona Central Northern Group, Frank Dickinson. Cape Cod and Islands Group, Alston Chase, Gerald O'Malley. Connecticut Regional Group, Luis Centeno, James Fallon. Emerald Coast Regional Group, Charles Shelton. From the Florida Regional Group, David Armstrong, Donald Blevins. Cecil Bradley, Clayton Craig, Elton Crandall, Donald Deptowitz. James Duda, James Gamberton, Carol Ganey, Robert Graveline, Kirk Harmon, George Hoven, Wilbur Jordan, Richard Kettering, Robert Lincoln, Earl Ray Proctor, John Rummel, Edward Sinca, Donald Vokey, Charles Waters, Lewis Wright, Gem State Regional Group, Andres Cortez, Georgia Regional Group, Henry Adger, Sheridan Denny, Marion Hendon, Percy Phillips, Greater Houston Group, James Barker, George Church, Richard Longbottom, Alan Duke, Henry Glenn, Robert Lee Lawson, Gene Robinson, Rix Watson, Heartland Regional Group, Daniel Evans, Illinois, Zygmunt Friedel, Louisiana, Mississippi, Lionel Pepperton, Maine, Stacy Dunton, Donald Phelps, Massachusetts, Raymond Chevalier, Daniel Gallagher, Edward Solano, Norman Welch, Michigan, Nanette Dinsmore, Donald Gelsbaugh, Mid-Atlantic, Samuel Kramer, Roger Lewis, Thomas Rosell, Michael White, Midwest Group, Glenn Fishbeck, Montana Regional Group, Gaylord Case, Clifford Schmutelar, Mountain State Regional Group, Carl Bennett, National At-Large Members Without Group Affiliation, Oliver Crawford, Danny Dunn, James Moore, Robert Sanford, New Jersey, George Blum, George Dickman, Louis Gambaccini, Leonard Goldstein, James Gordon Fowley, John Harnig, New Mexico, Byron Braden, Bruce Pungawiyi, Lawrence Tafoya, Donald Wadley, New York, Benjamin Binyard, James Griswold, Victor Ramon Acosta, Henry Zeelands, North Carolina Regional Group, James Collins, Charles Gill, G. Roger O'Shields, Northern California, Harry Durham, Richard Lauder, Ohio, Stanley Braden, John Dodds, Donald Houck, Donald Marks, Mike Walker, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Group, William Mallory, Kenneth Stump, Charles Wilson, Oregon, Columbia Group, Charles Larson, Jerry Mallett, Charlotte Nodden, Derald Stang, Pennsylvania, Joseph Armstrong, John Forsey, Gene Light, Joseph Phillips, Norman Stetler, Alan George Will, Puerto Rico, Demetrio Castro Ayosta, Hipplito Delgado Pagan, Ramiro Garcia Rivera, Eduardo Gonzalez, Luis Gonzalez Arroyo, Luis Angel Gonzalez Colon, Rhode Island, Southeast Massachusetts Group, Edmund Deppin, Rio Grande Regional Group, Dwight White, Rocky Mountain Group, Clarence D., Edwin Giles, San Diego, William Murray, Sooner Regional Group, Ray Gunnels, William McPherson, Southern Arizona Group, George Gonzalez, Southern California Regional Group, Linwood Barker, Southern Nevada Group, James Dalton, Dale Jensen, Spokane Inland Empire, Donald Guyberger, Peter Hanrahan, Robert Hurt, Tennessee, Elzo Townsend, Washington Regional Group, Melvin Ballman, Ray Gehring, Charles Powers, and from the Wisconsin Regional Group, Neil Ford, Bruce Keller, Carl Mates, Donette Schroeder, Larry Sutherland. Final thought. The May-June 2020 issue of the BVA Bulletin leaves us with a final thought accompanied by a photo. The photo reveals two gentlemen and one lady, all formally dressed in business attire, standing together outdoors on a sunny day. All three of them are wearing winter overcoats. The lady is standing between the two men. The man on the right is holding a white cane. Judging by the multiple buildings in the background, the setting is an urban one. In the immediate background and high above them is an identifying sign that reads, Blind Veterans UK. The final thought is expressed as follows. Just weeks prior to stay-at-home orders and international travel restrictions, representatives of BVA, BVUK, and NAVAR, National Alliance for Eye and Vision Research, met in London in a collaborative effort to garner unprecedented support for ocular trauma research internationally, with the United States and the United Kingdom leading the way. Pictured March 2, outside Blind Veterans UK headquarters, left to right are NAVAR's James Kirkaski, BVUK's Renata Gomez, and BVA's Tom Zamperi prior to a whirlwind week of visits with British dignitaries regarding the initiative. The time the three spent together in the UK also led to a most improbable British Parliament motion 3 weeks later, in which BVA was recognized for its 75th anniversary and its long-standing friendship and partnership with Blind Veterans UK, both before and since the establishment of the Project Gemini Exchange initiated by the two organizations in 2011. And this concludes the reading of the May-June 2020 BVA Bulletin.